Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast that for the month of October pits two horror movies with loads in common in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious. That's right, it's the final edition of our Halloween countdown that is
Shocktober.
And if that makes no sense because it's November, we're actually recording this on
Halloween.
This week in the red corner, death comes a-knocking and a-strangling and a-beheading, as some plane-crash survivors don't have long to count their blessings before the Grim Reaper does a quick course correction and mops up the leftovers. From 2000, we're heading to our final destination. While in the blue corner, never refuse an old woman an extension on her bank loan, because if you do, you're looking at a whole world of pain, and more specifically, a possessed goat. Sam Raimi brings the scares in 2009's Drag Me to Hell.
I got this feeling. It's a weird feeling. The cabin starts to shake, right? And the left side blows up, and then the whole plane just explodes.
The plane's gonna explode!
It's not a joke! It's not a joke!
We get thrown off the plane, all because Browning has a bad dream?
I saw it.
The plane! It's gonna blow up! It's gonna blow up!
All 287 passengers are feared dead.
Mr. Jax, I was wondering if you'd made any decision regarding the assistant manager's position.
It's between Stu and yourself.
Stu Rubin, the new guy?
Stu's someone who's not afraid to make the tough decisions.
I'm perfectly capable of making the tough decisions.
I'll let you know as soon as I decide, okay?
Will you help me? Please.
Okay. We have an elderly woman asking for an extension on her mortgage payment. We would have to throw her out of her house.
We've already granted her two extensions. It's a tough decision.
So it's a cursed conflict this week, but which film is better? Let's find out together. Welcome to Clash of the Titles.
Release the Kraken!
Hello, Clash Butters. Everything's always in transition. If you focus, even now, just 1 week into summer, you can almost feel autumn coming. Kind of like being able to see the future. I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crumpton.
I'm Chris.
Still happening. Yeah, welcome to part one of Final Destination versus Drag Me to Hell. If you're new to the show, this is how it works. We're going to do Final Destination today and Drag Me to Hell on Thursday, at which point we'll declare which is the better film. Happy Halloween!
Happy Yay! Halloween! Happy belated Halloween Sunday. From a week ago!
Yay!
Yeah.
How are we doing Halloween? Well, this is in the room.
This is our Halloween.
Yeah, it is.
When you brought out the trick-or-treat, yeah, that was a nice touch.
I need to swap mine for a crunchy. Oh, that's smaller than my twirl. What do you do?
Yeah, because twirls normally come in pairs.
Yeah,
that's why.
Thank you for the treats.
Yeah, I pick badly.
You don't like a curly
whirly? Oh, I love a curly whirly. I'll have it back.
Oh, fine. Can I swap?
Yeah. We can do this in the pub.
Fine. All right. Fine. Fine. There you go. Thanks. What have we actually got in here?
We could do it in the pub.
A finger of fudge. What's a chomp? Don't even know what that is.
It's like a curly whirly, only without holes in.
Yep.
What's a chomp?
Yeah, what's a chomp?
What's a chomp? I don't know chocolate. Do you, look at me. Do I eat chocolate?
Yeah, but did you not go to school in the north in the 90s?
Is chomp an old thing?
Yeah.
We used to call a girl at uni chomp. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I never found out.
You do know.
We were in the north.
You never found out.
Those who know. Those who know.
Probably for the best.
Yeah. Spent a lot of time in hospital. good. Right then, so the clue Chris gave on last week's show was...
Oh, I was happy with it.
Duel of the Fates.
Duel of the Fates. It was a great clue.
Yeah.
Follow that up on Twitter with?
I left it a bit. I was only going to do the one clue because I thought it was fine.
It was fine.
Follow it up with death is a prominent theme in both these films.
Mm. And for the second week in a row... Congrats to no one.
Yeah!
Wow.
You get nothing!
We win. Can I have the prize?
Okay.
Oh, I didn't come up with a prize because no one won.
A flake.
Oh, there you go. Happy Halloween. no one got it right, but...
Everyone got it half right.
Everyone got half of it.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people. No one guessed Drag Me to Hell. Okay. Everyone guessed a Final Destination.
Yes, indeed.
Right.
So, shall we do the connection section? What do you got?
Trains.
Curses.
Yeah.
Our protagonists are trying to outrun or outsmart death.
Mm.
Drowning. Now, why have I put that? Because Alex in Final Destination...
Did you sense the
Yeah, the air left the room,
mark.
Yeah. Alex in Final Destination drowns under the tree.
Yeah.
And Christine drowns in a grave.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna
jump in there.
Thank you.
Like Christine did.
Yep. Yeah.
They both end with characters believing they have succeeded and triumphed. But there's a sting in the tail.
That's right.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I think that's enough, isn't it?
And that's enough. Yeah. So, on Thursday, V is being dragged to hell, which means today, as if planes weren't already scary enough, it's time to strap in as we head towards our final destination. After boarding his flight to Paris, Alex has a vision of a fiery demise on board a plane that really should have been decommissioned. The thing is literally, and I mean literally, falling apart. But also, interestingly, not an American airline. We want to scare the shit out of you, but also fly American. Following his nightmarish look at the future, he starts ranting and raving like a madman, which, as we all know, you do not do on a plane. It is frowned upon. So, unsurprisingly, he gets kicked off. Well, wouldn't you know it, his vision actually comes true. Suspicious. But not as suspicious as the survivors being bumped off one by one. Could the Grim Reaper be stalking them? Dunno. Let's ask Candyman. He'll shed some light on what's going on and not make the movie even more confusing by saying things like, "You have to realise we're all just a mouse that a cat has in its tail." What? Anyway, in the end, Alex does end up in Paris, but turns out the Grim Reaper got on an earlier flight, so death, the end.
Can't believe you're claiming it's a bad thing to have Candyman show up in your film.
But they're like, do you work here?
No explanation. We don't need to clarify what he does. Does he hang out here? It's like creepy guy in morgue.
Yeah.
And it just makes... He says so much without saying anything.
Yeah.
It's the most amazing monologue ever. I'm like, clarity. No, nothing. Nothing at all.
It makes even less sense in the sequels as well, if that's possible. When they decided they wanted to play on not knowing what he or who he is, they lent into it hard.
Oh.
There's one where I think they're on a ride and he's the voice of the ride.
Good.
Amazing.
Good. Yeah, that's Final Destination 3.
I get them confused.
The roller coaster one. Well, Final Destination 5 is actually brilliant because it has the best use of 3D in the history of cinema. It's a bridge accident, as I recall, and a girl falls backwards off the bridge and you follow her down. And then a yacht's mast goes through her chest and her heart flies out into the cinema. I was like, win. This is gold. Yeah, loved it. Loved it. All right, so individual histories, not with the sequels, but with this particular movie, V.
I have seen it once. I was an older teenager. I don't really remember. It was one of those ones that was just on a lot. I've seen quite a few of them. I get them confused. That's it.
Fine. Chris?
Yeah, I think I've seen... I mean, I will talk about this. I think I've seen all these at the cinema. Mm. Very much enjoyed all of them.
Yep.
This is one of the most consistently great horror franchises.
Yeah, and consistently box office gold. Like the most recent one is the highest grossing of all of them. We love these movies.
Yeah, it's weird they haven't jumped back into that electrified swimming pool.
What's the one? I think it's number three. I think it's number three that is the sunbed one. I will never get.
Yes!
Yes!
Yes! Right. Yeah, I remember that.
That is the only kill in the entire franchise that Jeff Reddick, who we'll talk about, who came up with this idea, does not like. He feels like there's too much nudity and it goes on too long, and he didn't want to make a series of horror films with sort of gratuitous breasts.
That's interesting. I like the sound of Jeff Reddick. I'll tell you a little bit about him.
I think he's the best bloke in horror, honestly. In every interview I listen to him say or read, he just comes across as such a genuine, decent, lovely bloke.
Well, I'll tell you my history. I've seen it once in its entirety, but over the years, I've revisited on YouTube the plane crash just because it's one of the most epic pieces of cinema I remember from my teenage years.
Agreed. It's strongly agreed.
Incredible. Almost as incredible as me claiming I was a teenager in 2000.
Also correct.
Yeah. So let's talk about Jeffrey Reddick. Also awesome because his name sounds like Riddick, who I love. So he wrote this as a spec script for The X-Files. He wanted to get a TV agent, and he thought the best way to do that was to write an episode for the most popular show on TV at that point. He says, I was actually flying home to Kentucky, and I read a story about a woman who was on vacation and her mum called her and said, don't take the flight tomorrow. I have a really bad feeling about it. She switched flights and the plane she would have been on crashed.
Do you know who it was about, the spec script?
No.
It was about Scully's rarely seen brother, Charles, was going to be the person who went through this experience.
Oh.
It's been a long time since I watched The X-Files, so I can't remember who Charles is.
No, I can't, but I feel something for that. Yeah. That was an important person to her.
We know who Scully was. That's something. My favourite episode of The X-Files was Fluke Man. The thing that lived in the sewers.
Yes.
I thought that was amazing.
Me too.
And also Eugene Toombs, the first
yes!
time he did it. I remember Eugene Toombs. So this mother switched flights, as I said. Reddick says, I thought, that's creepy. What if she was supposed to die on that flight? So he had a friend at New Line Cinema who went, don't write this as an episode of The X-Files. This is a feature. You got a feature in there, Reddick.
Good friend to have.
Great friend to have. So he turns it into a feature. I think he was also inspired. I couldn't find a whole lot about this. I think he was also inspired by a 1984 film. I don't think you've seen it, V, if I can be so bold. Chris may have seen it, but I've never even heard of it.
Is it Soul Survivors?
Soul Survivor.
I've heard about it. I've never seen it. And he certainly never said he was inspired by that film.
No.
But the similarities, I believe, are there.
Yeah, he's never.
You know, I have watched it. I've watched it very late at night when I was pissed once, but it was on YouTube or something.
Okay.
And I was watching it flipping in and out. But yes, there are elements.
I'll tell you what it's about.
Yeah.
A woman who was the sole survivor of a plane crash starts to be haunted by dead people that death uses temporarily as vessels trying to kill her and correct his plan.
Right.
It's kind of similar. It's a little bit similar.
I can see this being an idea you could have a separate to that.
Yeah, there's a great movie called Fallen, which we're going to do at some point.
Yeah.
So, his script ends up in the hands of, weirdly, X-Files, considering this movie's about coincidence, X-Files writers and directors James Wong and Glenn Morgan.
Well, his first draft got green lit. That's good work.
Yeah.
And then they brought them on board. And he said he couldn't have been more excited because the X-Files was his favourite show. And his two heroes came on board and they did rewrite it, but he retained the credit. So everyone's a winner.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah, I mean, they said we loved it, but not enough to do a massive rewrite of the script.
It is a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's a big rewrite. So all three, like you said, got writing credits. Jason Wong said his reason for taking the movie, we want to do for planes and air travel what Jaws did for sharks and swimming.
Don't do that.
Job done.
No.
Job done, though. I mean, honestly.
I think 9/11 did that a year later rather than this film.
Yeah, I mean.
And he said this film wouldn't have got made if it had been a year in development.
Absolutely not. I'll tell you a weird thing. I was booking a flight out of JFK as I was watching this, and they go to JFK. I'm like, this isn't the movie to have a coincidence like that. I don't need this in my life right now. I'm paranoid enough. Jason Wong also said...
It is James.
Sorry, yeah. I've messed up his name three times now. James, apologies. Thanks for listening. He said he didn't want to make a slasher movie. I became very excited when we decided to make the world at large in the service of death our antagonist. Everyday objects and occurrences then take on ominous proportions and become less about whether or not our characters are going to die and more about how they will die and how they can delay their deaths. Love it up until how they can delay their deaths. Think that makes absolutely no sense in this film. Left me annoyed at the end. I was like, what? How is that your... Anyway, we'll get... To... I'm not going... Don't. I know. I'm not doing the end early. We'll get there. He said, the entertainment value is the ride, not the outcome. And by placing the premise of the film on inevitably death, we play a certain philosophical role.
I agree.
I thought you would.
I do.
I was hoping.
I'm quite moved by this film.
I was hoping you'd pick up that baton and run with it.
Well, definitely what Jeff wrote was more serious than this and a bit sadder and a bit grimmer and a bit darker. Do you know the differences?
No.
So his script was about adults, not teenagers, to begin with. But Scream came out. And they said, make it about teenagers. So that was pretty swift. And the studio struggled with the concept of death. So they introduced this shadowy character that kind of taunts the kids. That wasn't in his script. His was about death. His favourite horror movie is Nightmare on Elm Street. And his death was about getting into the minds of the passengers, the survivors, messing with them and pushing them to suicide. And people would think they've all killed themselves because of survivors' guilt, but really it was death doing it because it was death's plan. So that is quite a different tone of film, and they lightened it up, obviously. And then you ask about the mortuary man played by Tony Todd. He was not, there was a version of that character in Jeff's script, but it was just a bloke who had been through what Alex has been through.
Okay.
And so can guide him and tell him.
Already better. Already makes more sense.
Can tell him and guide him through what he should do to help him out. And they were like, no, we can have more fun with this. Mm. Let's introduce this character who may or may not be working for the devil.
I mean, I don't even know. At one point in that monologue, he separates out the Grim Reaper from death. And at that point, I was like, ah, I'm out, man. Yeah. I'm out. You can't go. Death is one thing. The Grim Reaper's another thing. It's mad. It's a mad speech. It's intended to confound. And I don't think it works because of that. We'll get to it.
He also said he removed, there's use of the homophobic F word in this film. He kept removing it from rewrites and it kept going back in. Yeah. Which upset him, particularly as a gay man in Hollywood, that they would keep doing that. And just jokes across the series that are sort of homophobic undertones. And that's...
Oh, that's upsetting.
Mm.
Okay. That is. I'll do a very, very short bit on casting. So Alex, he turned out to be the last role that was cast. Devon Sawa took that role on. He'd obviously been in a movie that I can't wait for us to cover, 1999's Idle Hands.
I'm in.
Oh,
I mean,
what's that?
No one saw it. It did no business, but it's great.
It is good, yeah.
It's a kid whose hands become possessed by a murderer.
Great.
And then his hands kill people, and he's like, I don't want to do this.
I thought you were going to say Casper the Friendly Ghost. I was like, can you really not wait for that? I thought that'd been on the list for ages.
I have no interest in doing that. No interest in doing that. That's why I'm not even bringing it up, because I don't want to even sow those seeds.
You don't
seeds.
Want to lean into
don't
that.
Want to sow those seeds.
Oh, look, it's Casper.
If you wanted us to do Casper, let us know.
guess where Devon Sawa read the script?
On a plane.
On a plane. Right. Yes. Madness.
Okay.
Yeah, he read it on a plane. Wong says of him, Devon has an everyman quality that makes him accessible.
It's true.
Exactly like the kind of thing a director would say about their leading man.
It's a tautology. Mm. He's got an everyman quality that makes him hard to read.
The last thing I'll touch on is, as I'm sure you were aware, because you can't call a character Hitchcock without people going, loads of the characters were named after famous horror film directors, actors and producers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I just noticed. I'm looking at the cast list.
Oh, wait, are you joking?
No, I hadn't. Val Luton, I hadn't spoiled because it's the sex.
Yeah, Todd Browning, the director of 1931's Dracula. Yeah. Agent Shrek.
What? Yeah, I thought that was after the cartoon that comes out a year later. Agent Shrek and Agent Donkey.
obviously.
Terry Chaney. That's Lon Chaney.
Yep. Terry Chaney, Lon Chaney, Steve Frankenstein, obviously named after Frankenstein, Ian Werewolf, and the teacher who stays on the plane, Mr. Creature from the Black Lagoon. So there's loads in there. Loads. Sometimes I just do it for me.
I like it. But since 50% of the time that lands, it's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. So, yeah, as Chris was saying at the start, big hit, 23 million, did over 100 million at the box office.
And... it didn't get marketed very well to begin with. And then it had a big opening weekend. So suddenly all the marketing went into its second weekend. So it had a long tail. They thought that they couldn't sell a movie, even though they greenlit it. But they were just very worried about not having a physical embodiment of the villain in a horror film and struggling to sell that. So they didn't get fully behind it until teenagers showed up. Then, bang, we've got a hit.
That's right. Spawned four sequels. Final Destination 6, Bloodlines, is going into production the minute the SAG-AFTRA strike is over. So we are getting a sixth installment. And I've already said my bit about Final Destination 5 being awesome. So I'm excited. Shall we talk about this movie? Mm. Good title sequence. Spooky. Sets the mood.
France is scary. France will kill you. So, because they're American, and when I know it's not in this bit, but later on when Claire's like, oh God, Princess Diana as well. Like, because they're going, they had a revolution, you know, and it's like, it's just so scary over there. I think it's Final Destination. Paris is the villain, basically. That's what that, the Jim Morrison bit, the, was it Père Lachaise, the cemetery, like mad.
Yes.
Death of a Salesman on the Shelf. It's very silly.
it's
silly, but I'm in.
Don't go to France.
I was desperately trying to find a sort of, I thought what we were seeing in Alex's bedroom at the start might be the order of the deaths, the way they happened, like, because there's the hanging thing, and I'm like, it's not.
No.
No,
I was doing the same. Yeah. Wasting my time.
Yeah. Although, you got the hanging thing. There's a guillotine, though, obviously.
Of course.
Stifler, rude, gets beheaded. but yeah, you're right. Ends on Jim Morrison's grave. This is the end. Yeah.
Don't come to France.
Beautiful.
It will kill you.
Yeah. So he's already scared of flying. He wants tags leaving on his bag because it survived a previous flight. You don't want to do that.
Well, your luggage will go to the wrong place.
Exactly.
Stupid things to do.
Terrible, terrible idea. They scan that. They scan that. So what are you doing? his dad, obviously. I mean, there's not a whole load of subtlety here.
No.
His dad goes, "Live it up, Alex. You got your whole life ahead of you."
Perfect. Yep. I loved that. Because it's also true. You've always got your whole life ahead of
always.
You. You just don't know how long it is.
Yeah.
Is that foreshadowing?
I think
it's very, very subtle foreshadowing.
Yeah, there's another bit a little later where Todd, just before he dies, goes, "Death can happen at any time. It could happen to me this afternoon."
What's the Dawson's Creek when he's like, "I will never die."
Yeah. In Venice, he's been smashing the JD when he says that. Lay off the JD, Carter. So, yeah, we meet Carter and Terry. They're a couple. We meet Sean William Scott. Have I bored you with how much I love Sean William Scott? Really, really, really good guy.
I love him.
So, they're at the airport. No airport in America ever has an announcement in French, FYI.
That's true.
I was like, are you
they
fucking
don't give
kidding?
A shit. They
really don't. No, it's like, was that a French announcement at JFK? Are you kidding? Who are you playing to? Yeah, so I like Miss Luton here when she tells a monk to fuck off.
Yeah.
I was like,
strong character notes.
Big swing. Yeah. Never lives up to that moment. Much like this movie can never get back to how good the plane crash was. Miss Luton is never as good as the moment she tells a Hare Krishna.
I don't know. Monk.
Yeah, she goes, fuck off.
And they've just been really helpful. They've just said death is not the end. This is helpful to our story. they've got the script.
So we're getting on Voli Airlines. As I said, French airline.
Yes.
So we don't need to worry. Don't need to worry.
Everything's fine.
It's Flight 180. The original script for this movie was called Flight 180. before it became Final Destination. So we get a few bits and pieces here. Your birthday is the same as your departure time. Okay. Is that bad?
sounds good.
To be honest, I get an upgrade. Amazing.
We look at the departure board and the word terminal is on there. Fine. Just so you know, that's on all.
Normal. If any of our listeners have never been in an airport, terminals are in airports. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It says terminal. Okay, Alex. His luggage tag says final destination. Because people need to know where.
Excellent.
Fine. All right.
Everything's working as it should so far.
Yeah. Ticking every box.
Regular airport ship. I do like that shot of him looking at the plane, though. There's something really ominous about that. I think, obviously, once you've seen it once.
Because you know it's going to explode. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just a bloke looking at a plane.
Love that, though, in any movie.
You'll love the terminal, then. 2 hours with Tom Hanks doing that.
We start to get more... John Denver is playing on the radio.
Not for the last time in this movie.
No.
Question. What did John Denver's estate feel about this? Because they must have signed it over.
I guess, yeah. Mm. Oh, unless it's owned by...
It might be owned by someone else, something else. But it's like, it just seems a bit weird. It's just a bit, I don't know.
A bit insensitive.
It's a bit bad. It's, you know, Diana, we got the Diana death thing. Yeah. We're using that, we're exploiting that here. And then John Denver's death.
Buddy Holly, anyone?
No. Yeah. Big Bopper, Richie Valens. Mix it up.
So, yeah, I mean, he peeks through the gap on the air bridge to the plane, the luggage trolley going underneath. 666.
Yep.
666. We're really loading it up here. I mean, if I'd seen any of this, I'd probably start going, I'm probably not going to get on this flight.
I've never felt like that, I don't think.
Are you a nervous flyer?
I would say no. I think I don't love takeoff, but does anyone like it?
I love it.
No, I like landing, but takeoff is just all your senses. It's too much. And there is a part of your body that goes, this is absolutely not correct. We shouldn't be doing this.
Do you ever do the Airport 77 thing, which they do in this movie, which I really love, which is where you look round at your fellow passengers and go, I think I'm going to be all right. It Why? Would take a fucked up God to take down this plane.
Oh, I don't believe in God, so no.
So isn't it a good thing that he sees a baby here? I get confused.
No, it is. It is because there's the person with the disability.
Yeah, I don't know what point they're trying to make with that as well. That seems a little bit... I get the baby
crass,
thing.
Yeah.
It just seems a bit out of place.
They're saying God would have to be especially awful to take down this plane.
Yeah.
So therefore, you're all right.
Yeah, they're wrong footing you. They're going. Yeah. There's going to be no plane crash because look, it's a baby.
God wouldn't do that.
Yeah, turns out they're wrong.
That baby's dead. By the way.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a fun start.
No, dead baby. I mean, he switches seats. His tray table is broken. I mean, again, this plane is falling apart. It looks, you know. I mean, The only good thing I think you can take from this is really would you want to be on an 8-hour, 7-hour flight with a bunch of high schoolers?
Oh, what a nightmare.
Is death not a blessed release from those 8 hours?
It's an absolute nightmare.
Just like, I mean... They're
the whole plane.
They're the whole plane. I mean, I don't think you're allowed to do that. Populate a plane with American high schoolers or just high schoolers. Hello to our American listeners. We get the first rumble and then just what is, to my mind, probably the best plane crash ever put on film.
100,000%. It's fucking brilliant.
Incredible.
It's so good. I can't cope with it. I just can't cope with how good it is and how terrifying it is.
Better than Castaway.
Better than Castaway.
Yeah, but that's a good
better than
point.
Flight. Flight's quite a good crash. Mm. I do enjoy the fact that he does a 360 in a plane.
Yeah.
That's quite good.
Better than Alive.
Better than Alive.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is? It's because I think this taps into what is at least my personal fear. It's, I mean, this is going to get pretty dark pretty quickly, but it's Final Destination. I can deal with exploding at 35.
Like yes.
It's the moment where the kid is reaching for her teacher, Miss Luton, and she is clearly about to get sucked out of the hole in the side of the plane.
Yeah.
And the idea that you know you're about to fall, however many thousand of feet they are at that point. And the pre-knowledge of your death, it taps into that, and it's just wonderful.
Because I'd never thought, when you see a plane crash, like, well, you'll die, and that's really terrible. But because it's so extended, because and it stays in the action, there's not very many like cutaways to give you a breath.
Mm.
So Miss Luton, even if you think, well, even if you survive this, your life is over because you couldn't catch that person.
Yeah.
It's just going to wreck you forever.
Absolutely.
And the trauma of an actual plane crash. You read about people that are sole survivors, and it's not good for them. Like, you know, obviously survivor guilt, but even not just that, everything they've been through, like seeing everything on fire, you know, it's not good for you.
No, and it also, I think, taps into the idea that you sort of think, oh, a plane crash, it's the worst part about it is like the moment it hits the ground, the moment it explodes. It's the little things like that you don't factor in, like a ghetto blaster. No one said that in a long time. But that radio that smacks into the back of someone's head at some point, all these little things. And also, I don't think the movie even explains what it is, but there's just an explosion of blood
across
the wall of the plane. You're like, what even was that?
So clever, because it's mechanical.
Someone brought a bag of blood on.
I think that's true. It's all mechanical stuff, the rate and whatever. And then it's like, oh no, but there's squishy bodies in here. And then you see all the blood as well.
Yeah.
It is just fantastic.
It's brilliant. And also, he wakes up, it's a dream, and then we watch him wait for the inevitable. It's like a double whammy. You're like, I cannot wait for this, because you're going to be so shocked when that explodes in the middle of the sky and the delay between the explosion and the glass shattering.
The glass is brilliant. Oh, such a good touch.
It's so well done. And then, you know, the button on it, that look they just give each other. It's like, how do you eat? Like, it's great that no one says anything, because how can you verbalise what that literal last 10 minutes has been? They just look at each other like, fuck.
Yeah. Would you get off then? Because I'm obsessed with this. I don't think I would get off, because I don't want to be the sort of person that is vulnerable to getting nervous because someone's had a premonition or a dream or whatever.
Mm.
But I might accidentally, on purpose, get in the fight. So I got thrown off. So that then I could go, I didn't choose it, but I'm very grateful.
I love the idea that Vicky would accidentally get in a fight.
That would be my ideal.
So you're tricking yourself.
Yes.
You're tricking yourself into thinking
to survive.
Right.
You have to think fast, though, to get involved in the fight.
I think I would.
She just doesn't need to think. No. It's a reflex action.
Yeah.
Just roll in.
Someone's talking loudly.
And it's not me.
I can't hear myself speak.
Competition.
You fucking baby.
Oh, we're going to get thrown out of the famous cock tonight. Right. I think seeing as the plane crash has now happened and the rest of the movies are just a bit okay, really, we'll take a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Welcome back as we talk Final Destination. That's new. I've not done that before.
You've in all the years. Never. And you must be quite accustomed to a welcome back.
I am.
It's part of your job.
The words I've said most of my life are see you after the break and welcome back.
Do you not do many? Did you not just do like a lot of like out now? Did you have to do any CDs or now something adverts, voiceovers?
Oh, I did it. That's so weird. I actually did an advert for Now That's What I Call Music 53 or
Brilliant.
Something.
Out now.
Yeah, out now. Out now. Don't do the accent. Okay, great. They're at the airport. I literally wrote down, if I remember rightly, it's not so good after this.
I think it is good.
I do too.
Do you?
Yeah, I think there's like three or four really good scenes.
Yeah, the first death, brilliant.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. So yeah, the FBI turn up, they interview him and everyone else.
Oh. The thing is, they say to him, do you take drugs? And you should go, yes. And then you get to go home. Like, isn't that the answer to all these problems? I do take quite a lot of drugs, actually.
Yeah, I'm on a massive amount of acid
so
right
I just
now.
Tripped and here we are. Here so we are.
Agent Shrek, did you recognise him? He is Smiley from Do the Right Thing, who's carrying around the photo in Do the Right Thing.
Really?
Yeah, head of an actor.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
No idea.
Really good.
He's very good in this.
Yeah,
he's
him and Donkey are great.
No parents come to pick up. No. I'm going to get your take on names.
Yeah.
Clear Rivers.
Clear Rivers. Been a bit excited to hear this.
Thoughts?
I don't know.
Nah, me neither.
Like, is that a name? Does it gel with who you see in front of you? No?
I don't know.
Clear Rivers. I mean, she looks healthy.
Mm. She looks, well, has she got hippie parents? It's kind of a hippie-ish name.
Well, one of them's dead and the other's a drinker.
So. Oh, right. She's got a hippie-ish lifestyle, though, hasn't she?
Or
an
now.
artistic lifestyle.
That terrible scotch.
For God's sake, I can't wait to get to that scene. Oh, my God. At what point did you sit in an edit and go, yeah, we'll keep this? Well, this definitely works. This is showing the connection that her and Alex have.
I think the point being that the fact that sculpture doesn't come back to kill him is such a missed opportunity. It's made of spikes. It just should be like, look at this fucking thing I made for you. I love you, by the way. And it should try to kill him.
That's my change. He should turn into the sculpture at the end. That should be the twist. We get this, the cheesiest funeral in the world.
They threw up that eagle quickly, didn't they? That's a big granite eagle they've got there. Uh-huh. Only 39 days ago.
It came out of a mould. They're mass producing those things.
It's of a time, though, isn't it? This funeral with an emo guy singing.
Yeah.
Get rid of him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, Carter's been on the JD to the point that he says, I'm never going to die. And no one goes, what?
Weird thing to say.
Billy Hitchcock thinks Alex is a psychic. Miss Luton says, don't talk to me. You scare me. And his best friend Todd can't see him anymore because his dad won't let him. And Claire is the only one to thank him. She says, thank you.
She's very clear about that.
Mm. She is.
Like that's why she's got the name.
Yeah.
Funeral paparazzi?
Insensitive.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It does happen. Do you know when you've always haunted by these horrible stories? This is one. I might have said this before, but you know, things just stick with you.
Mm-hmm.
So years ago, there was a whole family that drowned in a car off a slipway in, I can't remember where it was actually, which is bad. But anyway, this is a big story because it's a small town and the whole family, apart from, they managed to pass the baby through the window. Oh, and that was it. The mum was out with her friends. She was on her first night out since she'd had the baby. So it's a big story because it's the human interest factor is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And the journalist sneaked into the funeral to get the scoop by pretending to be a friend of the family. And that, imagine that's your living, like, you low down motherfucker.
Right.
I mean, so bad.
Did they sort of knowingly do that? Or
of course, did
they pretend they were in a fight?
And need shelter from the fight. Is this a funeral? Can I hide here?
Yep.
Scumbag.
Yep. That's how I deal with it, though. I've got a clear conscience. Right, now we're getting into the meat of the movie. Oh, Todd's death.
Yeah. Because of the nose hair trimming. That makes my eyes water because you see those little scissors and he's sticking it up his nose and you think that's going to go straight up there.
Mm. No, you need an electronic trimmer to do that shit.
I agree with
I'm
you.
Not sticking a blade up there.
It's a weird thing. I don't think it... Does anyone still do that?
With sharp scissors? No, you can get rounded edge scissors.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. An electric trim, obviously.
Obviously, that's what I use. Yeah.
Alex has already
look
had
how hairless. My nostrils are.
They are clear.
Look at that. Nothing.
Alex has already had the clue, though, hasn't he? That Todd's going to die via the penthouse.
Yes. Yeah, so is the fan? Is it a magic fan? Because it's the fan that whips the bit of paper or pen or whatever it is. Is the fan magic or not?
Right. So here is the problem with this fucking movie. It's like, at what point has the fan got
so
skin
glad.
In this game?
Yeah.
Why is the fan going, I'm going to help you out?
The relief of thinking you're not going to see this child actor, teenage actor, have a wank is so overwhelming that it doesn't
matter.
No,
but, well, also the owl helps there because I'm like Alex here in that I cannot get it up in front of an owl and knock an Alex. So he throws the magazine at the owl. No, I've never been able to. And I believe me, I've tried.
You have tried so hard.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. Just
a penthouse and an owl.
Anyone know a good taxidermy? That's brilliant. Just like sitting there with a, God damn it,
owl.
You
could turn your head 180 degrees. Do it now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a weird moment. He's like, ah, I'm so... The plane crash, it's affected. Ooh.
No, doesn't he see a picture of Clea and then that guides him to the penthouse?
That's what I think.
Yeah, that's the journey he's going on.
She's fit, I hadn't thought of that before.
I thought he picked up the penthouse first and then he's trying to decide which one to not run out to.
Yeah,
he's like, do I not run out to Time Has Come? Funny.
Fair enough.
Funny. I mean, a missed opportunity with the spelling of come, but sure.
It's only penthouse. Steady on.
Is penthouse a kind of class? Is it like Playboy?
I don't know, but I don't know. But I imagine
once again, I have no knowledge of this, but I do have an opinion.
But isn't it like a legacy title? It's like an old mag.
I don't know.
Why are you pretending not to know, bitch?
I don't even know. It was
what is
all I remember is like when every seemingly pornographic magazine was named after a make of Ford car, Sierra, Fiesta, Capri. I think
Fiesta.
So obviously, Todd's death. For me, it's the one that stayed with me after the plane crashes, the most memorable scene from when the capillaries burst in his eyes.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
And awful. I'm quite sad because I like Todd.
Yeah.
And the actor who plays him, I've not really seen ever since. A lot of these actors I have. And I'm like, oh, I wish that guy had stuck around.
So we see the first supernatural thing happen. And in fact, the only really supernatural thing, everything else can be put down to coincidence. Even the magic fan, it could be just happenstance. The water retracting back into the socket. How do we feel about that? Because the movie doesn't need to, at this point, basically go, there's definitely something supernatural happening. Yeah. Everything could be like, is it or isn't it? But in their desire to make it seem like Todd's death was by suicide, they have to then reverse the water. I don't like it.
No, well, because...
I'm just not into
it. It must be the slippage between the drafts of the script, because... Nobody else's death is... Oh, no, wait, am I right? Seems like a suicide, because then Alex is in the frame for it, so it can't seem like a suicide.
No, I think there's a lack of consistency across this film, and I agree with you, Alex, and I think there was probably a way of shooting that scene and writing that scene where you didn't need to have the water disappear like that.
Yeah.
Alex turns up at his house a little bit late. Why would Todd make plans with me if he was thinking about killing himself? Things not to say to a dad whose son is being loaded into an ambulance behind you as you're saying
it. Not the time.
It wasn't a suicide.
Classic Alex.
And then we get this moment. Oh, this moment that you've already spoken about where Alex visits Claire.
Is her problem?
So, I mean, already she's literally piling on the tropes. Lives alone, does welding, has angry dog. It's sort of a combination of... Parents gone and wrong side of tracks, girl.
Yes. Yes. I was just wondering if there was a bit of Manic Pixie Dream Girl in there too for good measure, but she's too sort of solid for that, so no.
Yeah, I wrote down, she don't give a fuck. That was what I took away from that. That sculpture. Do you know what it is? Fuck no.
No one does.
No, I don't know what
this is. It's offensive. This is how I feel about you. Honestly.
And then she's like, we didn't even speak. It's like, what's up? No, what, you're making sculptures. Yeah. Like, it's too much.
It's you, Alex. not a likeness. No kidding. No fucking kidding, Clear. It's how you make me feel. I wrote down, is this happening? Yes. Is this happening in this
movie? If anything, you're being too clear now.
But it all makes sense because she clears everything up, no pun intended. Like you, the sculpture doesn't know what or why it is. It's reluctant to take form, and yet creating an absolute but incomprehensible attraction.
Wowzers.
Said no kid ever. What? Although, obviously, Alex is like, I'm going to get some.
Yeah, you clearly are.
I'm gonna get, it was worth looking at that photo. Time can have a night off. I mean, I just wrote down, what's happening? What's happening? So Clear has literally done the opposite of what her name implies. Tony Todd then turns up. So obviously there's a character called Todd in this scene who's been made up to look like Michael Jackson. Is that always a thing? Do they put too much makeup on corpses?
I think so.
Right. So.
Because you would. Sorry, because they're dead, and so they need to look alive.
But so much, like yes. Too much. Like,
yeah. Well, maybe it's because Tony Todd's in charge and he's not really a mortician. So.
In death, there are no accidents and no escapes. Death has a sadistic design. If you figure out the design, you can cheat death. So death has a new design for all of... Oh, my God, what?
Yeah. Which it needs a through line.
I like it when he calls death a Mac Daddy, though.
Well, this is the light. This is...
I do.
Do you?
Yeah. I actually do. Yeah, I do like it. I was just like, because Tony Todd's character in the credits says mortician, you're like, are you actually expecting me to believe this man is a mortician? Because he doesn't go, have you kids broken in here? He's like, hey, come in, not a problem, is this your friend? And they never say, do you actually, like, no one asks the right questions. And then it's like, well, to me, first time I watched this, I was like, that he is, I mean, like you said, the splitting of the death and the Grim Reaper is an irritant. So he just hit it's him. Mm. He's done all of this and he's come to check on his work and have a bit of a laugh. That's right. What I think.
Yeah, because that's the line. If you cheat the design, you could create a fury that could terrorize even the Grim Reaper and you don't even want to fuck with that Mac Daddy.
Which is me. Yes.
Right. Is that what he's saying?
You... I think so.
I don't think he is.
No, he would say this Mac Daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would.
Although, in all the things he says, I mean, referring to himself in the third person would not surprise me in that
Correct,
speech. So,
yeah.
So you, what you're saying is Tony Todd is the architect
of this whole thing.
Interesting.
But he is also the Grim Reaper.
Right.
He's not a person that's done it.
The impression I got over the course of the series, and it has been a while since I've watched them, is that he's sort of a helper. He works for the Grim Reaper. He's sort of giving the kids a bit of help. But equally, he's not that upset when he says, I'll see you soon. And when he does see them soon, he's not that upset. So, and that's what I said at the start. The point is, I don't think they quite knew who this character was. And then when people were confused by it, they lent into it. We can have fun by keeping him ambiguous. Might seem annoying here. I quite like seeing him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tony Todd. Yeah. He's good. I mean, if his character was called the Tim Reaper, so it's sort of like, oh, he's sort of like the Grim Reaper. But hey-ho. Right then. I got a bit frustrated here, I'm not going to lie. Alex then starts to make what is already confusing based on Clear's fucking sculpture and Tony Todd's monologue. Alex starts then talking about, like, at the cafe, unless we open ourselves up to the signs, it's willing to show us. Why is it showing you signs? Why do you have this power? Yeah. It's never answered. Why is death going... I'm going to get you, but here's a clue.
Pay attention.
You've got a magic fan.
Well, he's been told you can figure it out by the mortician.
I thought so Alex just had special powers, and that got me through it.
Okay, but he's been told you can figure this out, and so he's thinking he can figure it out by keeping his eyes open.
Right. I mean, okay. So...
And obviously, with each death, there are signs. He's, you know, you're seeing more signs each time, aren't you?
Yeah, but no one else sees them. No one sees a train in the window of a car. So
sure, but he's the one that saw the plane. Yes. He's the one that had the vision already. So he does believe he's got a power. Yeah, and so now he's looking for signs, like happened at the start of the film.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that he should have the line, for whatever reason, I saw death's plan and cheated it. Don't say for whatever reason. Don't highlight the fact that you don't know why you saw the plan.
Okay.
It frustrates me because it's never answered, obviously, because, well, depending on who you listen to, there was a bit of a contract dispute with New Line Cinema, which is why Devon Sawa doesn't return for number two, but Ali Larter as Clear Rivers does return for number two. So Miss Luton's death is next. Rather than tell
we've had a bit. No, we should say who died, though, shouldn't we? Terry dies.
Yeah.
By being hit by a bus.
But this is what's good, and I don't think they repeat this. Terry dies because Carter drives past Alex, who's in a cafe with Clear, having a chat about death. If they'd not gone to see Tony Todd and gone to the cafe and sat down, Carter wouldn't have seen him, therefore wouldn't have turned around, therefore Terry wouldn't have got out of the car. So cause and effect. So Terry dies because the Grim Reaper's after them, but also Terry dies because they're fretting about worrying that they're going to die. Mm. So that's brilliant stuff when it's like this is only happening because of everything that's happened. Whereas Miss Luton's death is like, if she'd not been home, she should have been placed in her house because, or maybe she was because of Alex. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I see.
They are responsible because of what's happening.
Right. Because Alex is a creepy MF.
Yeah.
They're locking her away.
What I like about what's happening here as well is we see the bus in the background, they don't, and then the bus comes back and she gets hit by the bus. What these films do is make you watch films in a new way, because we're watching the sides of the frames from here on in Final Destination, where you wouldn't normally do that. And that's part of the fun experience, is you're looking everywhere to figure out what's going to be next. And obviously, it hits sort of a crescendo in the teacher's house.
Yeah.
But this is where you'll realise, oh no, I've got to pay attention in a different way from this scene onwards.
It wasn't this, because I don't remember if I saw this at the cinema, but Final Destination 2, when I came out of that, like there was some scaffolding being lifted onto a building, and I was just like, oh my God. Like, literally, you start seeing the world in a completely new way. Danger on every corner. So, Miss Luton dies. I don't think anyone has ever gone, not this mug, and thrown hot tea across a room in reality.
She does a lot of talking to herself as well.
She does.
Well, she's pulling out the vodka.
I love that. But again, the cup cracks because it had hot liquid and then it's got ice cold liquid in it. So that's the reason it cracks. Or the Grim Reaper's doing it. But you can do that cause and effect thing in here, which I think is really good.
Mm. What, the ambiguity of...
Yeah, as in if she'd not had the school cup, she wouldn't have thrown the tea. The mug would have been full of, you know, it wouldn't have been boiling hot, and then you put ice cold in and that leads to the explosion.
This is what the series becomes, though, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The Rube Goldberg machines, effectively. And this is the thing that James Wong and Glenn Morgan introduced as well. This was not something that was in Jeff Reddick's original script. And this is this sequence. They really lean into that as the series finds its feet and understands what it is and I think gets a sense of what the rules are as we go along.
Agreed. As the franchise continues, they hone in on the bit that people love, which is these overcomplicated deaths, and that's what everyone loves.
It's the board game Mousetrap as a movie.
No one wants to hear fate, death, destiny, visions. It's like, just show me another kid dying.
In a weird way.
In a weird way, specifically. Next up, Carter. You think Carter's going to die, but then Alex sees the ripped, or he has a vision saying, I can get him out of this car.
Yeah, he sees the train in the window that's not there, and then he sees a seatbelt rip.
Yeah.
And so this is what gives him a sort of sign.
But if you were trying to get someone out of a car, you would pull their seatbelt, wouldn't you? You don't need a vision to go, seatbelts can undo.
Yeah, but it's a good fake out, because you're like, Carter's going to die. No, Billy gets beheaded.
It's good. Yeah,
and he just wanted to see the Jets win the Super Bowl. I checked. They still haven't. 23 years later. 69 was the last time they did it.
A weird moment here where Clear calls Alex baby. Just out of the blue. She goes, baby, you're losing it. I'm like,
blurg.
Would you like us to call you baby Alex?
I actually would. I think if we all started referring to each other as baby,
then what would happen?
I think there'd be a more warmth.
There would be a different energy.
Don't be silly, baby.
That's so nice.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Hey, babe. obviously, the car chase, as I've said a million times, every movie needs a car chase. So we get a high-speed car chase. It's time for Clear to die. It's her turn because it's jumped Carter. Oh, don't get me started on the It's jump me. Now it's jump.
So I've watched this maybe three times. I've never bothered to try and figure out what they're talking about.
Right. Okay.
Where the issue with the silicone insulation passed through all their seats, so they were dying in the order. They would have died on the plane, apart from now, if you save someone, it skips them or it skips you. I don't know. I don't care. Does it make sense? I'm not sure.
It doesn't.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it does, but it's just such a stupid role. It's like, so it jumped Carter, but there's only two people left. So there's three of you. So it's going to just come back round.
Is it very simple? And if I just paid attention, I would understand it.
I think the idea is, like, there should be, like, a way of genuinely winning. It seems like there's no win. Like, it's just going to keep coming round. It's like,
isn't that the point of death?
Oh. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Just call me Tony Todd. My hands aren't big enough. I told you that, didn't I? He once put his hand on my head. And his hand was, he just enveloped my whole head in his hand. I've got a photo of it somewhere. We were pissed in the Phoenix, if I'm honest. Massive hands.
Or small head.
No, I have. It's a combination, if I'm honest, Alex.
Just picked you up like one of those grabber machines. Just moved you out of his way. Sorry, I'm talking to my friends.
The claw.
Can you go away, please?
Can you imagine? Oh, I'd take that from Tony Todd. Just being picked up and moved out of the way.
Nice to see you. Okay.
Not even saying anything, just like...
I'll be honest, he hung out all night. He was just super nice.
You should have asked him about what the fuck he was talking about in this movie. Alex now has a fight with some electric wiring that roars, which was...
I'm in.
Sure. Jaws has a shark that roars. Well, Jaws 4. So, yeah, let's have some roaring electric wiring. Don't get out of the car. Actually, definitely get out of the car.
He says you know what to do. It's like, oh, God, does she? I've got no idea.
So Alex sacrifices himself. So it skips clear, goes to him in the alternate ending. He dies here.
Yes, I've heard this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that they had a baby or something?
They had a baby as well, yes.
Seemed a bit young for that, but
and
fine.
It's only Carter and Claire that survive.
Yeah.
So, but this is much better because he's brought back from the dead. So, this is where it gets complicated. So, he's brought back from the dead, so it skips him too because death thinks that it's killed him, but then it sort of goes, I've done that, and pisses off.
Bye.
And then he goes,
oh, so he's temporarily dead, so death leaves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Didn't pick up on that.
Okay, your Tony Todd title has been rescinded. Didn't realise that. So then they get on a plane again.
They do?
Yes.
But they're teenagers.
6 months later?
I'm sailing. If I'm going to Paris, let's have a nice boat trip.
I couldn't quite believe it, but I thought, oh, the hubris of youth. Maybe you would.
No, you wouldn't. If you've seen that.
But also
he's
Paris,
seen...
like, you'd be so traumatised. And also France is very dangerous, as we've established. So go somewhere else.
France is the big bad in this movie.
Well, before Cleo dies, did you notice she's in her house and she walks away from her dresser and it's just full of Eiffel Towers. She's got more than one little, like
Claire or
yeah,
Claire doesn't die.
Yeah.
No, but she nearly dies before the electric snake thing.
Right.
So
right.
She's in her house and it's like, it's coming for you. She walks away from the window and her whole bedroom is made of Eiffel Towers.
What does James Wong or Jeffrey Reddick have against the
Paris?
Bad croissant. Had a bad croissant
There's
once.
No such thing.
But also, they've completed the puzzle by getting to Paris.
Yes.
Stop giving us all this nonsense and get to a kill. They've got tans and new hair because life's good now.
And these are reshoots.
Claire said maybe they weren't meant to live. Honestly, this is what I've written. Why is this so complicated? That's what I've written for my explanation of the last scene. Why is this so complicated?
I don't listen. I've written down singer, meat, nails, fire, spilled wine. That's all you need. I'm not listening. I'm watching because I'm watching a film in a different way now. It doesn't matter what they're saying. It's how they're going to die.
So that's pretty much it. Alex obviously doesn't return for the sequel. Like I said, there was a little bit of...
Did you say Carter's dead, though?
Does Carter die?
Well, that thing swings towards
yes,
him.
Yes, but it's the end of the film.
It cuts before it hits him.
Sure.
Yeah, but he's dead.
Right.
He stands up and said, so who's next? Alex says it skipped me. Carter says, so who's next? As the sign fucking comes to kill him.
Yeah, again,
it's a great ending.
I don't think it is, because if I'm there going, but if it poses the question, if it makes me go, oh, who is next? So I'm thinking about that.
Yeah, and then the film's telling you.
Yeah.
The guy that says who's next with the sign coming towards him is next. It's a great ending.
Fine. Do you want to know how Alex died between films one and two?
Oh, yes.
Claire tells someone in Final Destination 2, Alex died by being bludgeoned on the head by a dislodged brick from a nearby building.
A nearby building.
To me, even though there's been denial that there was a dispute about his fee, these deaths, because that's not the only one. In an earlier draft, he was killed by a ceiling fan.
Right.
And in another draft, he was killed by a flesh-eating virus. All off screen. All of those deaths make me think someone was like, do you know what, fuck you. Ceiling fan, brick from Bill.
Whatever.
Whatever, just off screen.
Anything.
Not here to spoil it, but he does return though, doesn't he?
Does he? I don't think I've seen... Is he? Does he come back?
Briefly. It's a massive spoiler if I go into it.
All right, so, don't.
In case you haven't.
Right then, should we do the bits?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's your best scene, V?
Plane crash.
Chris?
My favourite bit is the second plane crash. The one that we see from the...
This window.
Yeah, through the window.
The terminal.
I like that because I just enjoy them arguing in the foreground.
Mm. Can I have it all as one?
Sure.
Right, I'm having it all as one because...
Two separate scenes, Zeffo, yeah.
Fine. Do you know what? Then on board the plane, because it's a better scene. So, yes, on board the plane, that whole explosion of blood. Your most valuable whatever, Chris?
Because I really like the sound of him, Jeffrey Reddick. He came up with it. It was obviously vastly rewritten, but then they kept him on board for the second one. He got to write the second one once they'd figured out what the formula was and did a really good job there as well. Well done, Jeffrey.
Okay. V?
The plane crash. Or James Wong for directing the plane crash. Yeah. Have you got the same?
That's right. I've got director James Wong for staging that plane crash.
Yeah, there we go. Or Tony Todd, but actually the plane crash.
I was going to pick Tony Todd, and then I realised he was a bit... once I heard that he could pick up Chris with one hand.
Yeah, he felt very vulnerable.
I wish he had
picked me up now. You're making me think he did.
Like in the palm of his hand, like this. Yeah. Just lifted you.
Probably could. Call me baby.
All right, baby. What's your change?
Right, so this makes it all really simple. I agree with you. It's confusing as all hell towards the end. So all you need to do is when Alex is in the cabin and he's eating the tuna with the gloves on, and that's quite funny, and he's like, oh, I didn't move seats, which means he's like, God, Cleo's next, not me. Get rid of all of that. Get rid of all of it, right? She's just next, blah, blah, blah. So you get to Paris, and then he goes, oh, I didn't move seats, and the sign comes for him, and that's it. Because otherwise, like you say, it's just circular. It's just death is going to keep coming and keep coming. And also, the character that you end on with the sign swinging towards him is Carter. He's not your principal character. You don't really care if he dies or not. That's but if true. Alex just loses the realisation, just have it at the end. No big deal. That's the great. Change.
That's a good change.
Yeah.
It's a great change.
Thanks.
Chris.
So when he sees the baby on board the plane, I think we can lean into that as well.
Oof.
He could look to a row and it would be Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa and Sir Bobby Robson sitting there.
Like, am I already dead?
Yeah. This plane's never going down. Or if we
Sir
want to
Bobby
see...
Sir Bobby Robson. I can't believe I said Sir. What's ridiculous.
He was a knight of the realm. Or if we want to see him seeing more sort of portents of what bad things are going to happen, he could look to another row and see Donald Trump, Jimmy Savile and Harold Shipman.
Harold Shipman, yeah, sorry, it's not funny.
Water flowing backwards, don't like it, doesn't need it, takes me out of the movie.
So how do you replace it?
With, great question, Chris.
Yeah, it has to be a change.
Yeah, that is a change. Well, I'm changing.
Just take, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's vodka. right. Are you doing a quiz?
Yeah, I've got one for you.
Yeah, sure.
It is the IMDb buyers quiz. Yeah. So... Mr. Sam Raimi is your man.
Okay.
Evil Dead 2.
So, all right, fine. I was going to ask Vicky first, but no, you've gone.
You always ask Vicky first.
It's not there.
Oh.
Spider-Man, one of them.
Yes.
Oh, well, is she picking one or?
Yeah, she said Spider-Man. I took it already.
Right, okay. Oz, the Great and Powerful.
No.
I don't know. People love that.
Evil Dead 1.
Correct. Vicky's got two.
Yes.
How many other?
There's four.
Oh, so I need both of these.
You do.
Spider-Man 2.
No.
Really?
Oh, drag me to hell.
No.
Shit.
Evil Dead Army of Darkness.
Oh. Correct.
Oh, fuck off. We've done... And also, as if.
We've done the fourth one as well.
Oh, Simple Plan.
Shut up.
I said it first.
Oh.
A Simple Plan.
Dark Man?
Yes, correct.
Oh, what?
I don't even like that film.
It's better than The Crow.
Well played, Vicky.
Well done. Congratulations. Good. Quick quiz. Like it. Right. I know it's my job to give a clue out now, I believe. But having not seen either of these films, I was hoping someone might pick up the slack, because if I read what I've written without having watched these movies yet, it's going to make little to no sense.
You're slacking off in this relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're slacking off in this relationship.
Fine.
Right, that's the clue done. Good luck with that. There'll be another one coming along on Twitter where we are at ClashPod. Before then, though, we are obviously back on Thursday talking Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell and seeing which film will be victorious. Until then, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at ClashPod. Till Thursday, have a lovely week.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Hey marketers, want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.